Hare Flooding the whole universe with tidal waves of mercy, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharya Asta Tarasadashi Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vina ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Param Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinaki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaudi Gopinath Shamakunda Rakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai The Most Holy New Panihati Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamunamai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vinaki Jai Gaura Vinimananda All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru Nivanga All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachaline Nirishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, Text Number 32 Agastya Prak Duhitaram Upayame Dhritavratam Yashyam Tridachchuta Jata Idvamaha Atmaja Muni Agascha Pragduhitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhritachutto jata Idma vahatma jomuni Agascha prangdu hitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhritachutto jata Mahatmajo Munihi Agastya Pragduhitaram Upaye me dritavratam Yashandra yucho jata Idma vahat majo muni Yasham dhirhachuto jata Idva mahatma jomuni Agastya pragdu hitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhirhachuto jata Idva mahatma jomuni Agastya pragduhitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhritachuto jata Idva mahatma jomuni Agastya pragduhitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhridachuto jata Ida mahatma jomuni Ladies? Ashapragdu hitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhridachuto jata Ida mahatma jomuni Ladies? Agastya pragdu hitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhridachuto jata Idva mahatma jomuni Agastya pragdu hitaram Upaye me dhritavratam Yasham dhridachuto jata Idva mahatma jomuni Agastya The great sage Agastya Prak First Duhitaram Daughter Upayeme Married Dhridavratam Taken two vows Yashyam, through whom? Dridachuta, named Dridachuta. Jata, was born. Idmavaha, named Idvamaha. Idmavaha. Atmaja, son. Muni, the great sage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Savior of the whole universe. The great sage named Agastya married the firstborn daughter of Malaya Dvaja, the avowed devotee of Lord Krishna. From her, one son was born, whose name was Dhridachuta, and from him another son was born, whose name was Idmavaha. Purport. The name Agastya Muni is very significant. Agastya Muni represents the mind. The word Agastya indicates that the senses do not act independently. And the word muni means mind. The mind is the center of the senses, and thus the senses cannot work independent of the mind. When the mind takes to the cult of bhakti, it engages in devotional service. The cult of bhakti, bhakti lata, is the first daughter of Malaya Dvaja, and as previously described, her eyes are always upon Krishna, Ashitekshanam. One cannot render bhakti to any demigod. Bhakti can be rendered only to Vishnu, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Thinking the absolute truth to be without form, the Mayavadis say that the word bhakti can apply to any form of worship. If this were the case, a devotee could imagine any demigod or any godly form and worship it. This, however, is not the real fact. The real fact is that bhakti can be applied only to Lord Vishnu and his expansions. Therefore, bhakti lata is dridhavrata, the great vow. For when the mind is completely engaged in devotional service, the mind does not fall down. If one tries to advance by other means, like karma yoga, like jnana yoga, one will fall down. But if one is fixed in bhakti, he never falls down. Thus, from bhakti lata, the son, Dhridhachutta, is born. And from Dhridhachutta, the next son, Idmavaha, is born. The word Idmavaha refers to one who carries wood for burning in a sacrifice when approaching a spiritual master. The point is that bhakti lata, the cult of devotion, fixes one in his spiritual position. One soul fixed never comes down, and he begets children who are strict followers of the shastric injunctions. As said in the Vedas, tad viganar tam saguru meva vikachat samitpanahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. In the line of devotional service, those who are initiated are strict followers of the Vedic scriptural injunctions. Om Ajnana Timaranda Shaganandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, it is my greatest pleasure beyond any words to describe my happiness to be here, especially with my dear godbrothers Balabhadra Bhattacharya Prabhu and Vaishnava Nanda Prabhu, with whom I served here back in the old days. With whom we shared the association of Prabhupada when he came here in 1975. So just coming around this holy, holy Dham, I'm just reliving all those memories, and it's very powerful actually. I can hardly express what I'm feeling this morning to be in this holy place. To see where I stood right there by Prabhupada, so many wonderful pastimes were there. Prabhupada taught us that song, Parama Karuna, two nights in a row. Second night we had the song sheets. First night there was no song sheets. Such a nice song. How Prabhupada didn't see the deities, you know, he saw Gornitai. He didn't see deities. He saw Gornitai standing. Just imagine you go back in a time machine to Navadvipa 500 years ago, and you're on the bank of the Ganges, and there come Gornitai walking down the road, Haribol, Haribol, chanting. So that is what Prabhupada saw. Prabhupada was there, actually there in Chaitanya Leela, directly seeing Shishi Gornitai when he was here in this temple. And I always remember this temple was the kirtan capital of ISKCON in the old day, in the heydays. This was the kirtan capital. And I still think it's a kirtan capital, yeah. This is one of the special, special places of Prabhupada's pastimes. The dust of his feet has so much sanctified this holy Dham. And even we saw several years ago at the Paniyati Festival. The Prabhupada was actually sitting here. It wasn't a deity of Prabhupada. He was crying tears of ecstasy. We saw the tears coming down his right cheek. He was feeling so enlivened by the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya going on here. And he was just crying in ecstasy. So this is not deity. This is Prabhupada actually sitting here. We should never think it's a deity of Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada himself sitting here. So I was so happy I got to offer Guru Puja today. It was just so sweet and wonderful. I can't describe how sweet and wonderful it was. So Prabhupada has given us this wonderful, wonderful Bhagavatam, beautiful Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, to give us the crest jewel of wisdom available anywhere in the world. Of course, this is the book that Prabhupada brought from India, Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many Vedic literatures, but what did Prabhupada do about Srimad Bhagavatam? So this is very nice, very instructive here, what we're reading this morning. Super, super instructive information. Starting at the end of the purport, and working backwards, we can see how Prabhupada is emphasizing being initiated. This is so important thing, to become initiated disciple. Why? Because that means you're actually plugged in, you're fully connected. The plug can be close to the socket. It can be associating with the socket. It can be very close. The electricity flows when it's actually plugged in. See? There's some association. There can be some association between the plug and the socket, even before it's plugged in. It's sitting near the socket, thinking of plugging in. And that's very good. We encourage it. Yes, you come near, this is called sadhu sangha. You come near the socket. You dear plugs of this material world, you come near the socket. And you associate. And you see how, you see the result of that those who are getting, you're actually plugged in. You see, this is sadhu sangha. You can see those devotees who are fully plugged into the process of sadhana bhakti, who've taken diksha, who've fully accepted the spiritual master as their eternal shelter. You see the result they are getting. You see the bliss they are tasting. You see the knowledge they have, the realization they have by having done that. And then you'll start thinking, maybe I should plug in too. Maybe I should get initiated also, plug into this process of bhakti yoga. When we actually plug in, that's when the real advancement happens. That's when it really begins to move. The Hare Krishna movement really starts moving for us when we plug in by initiation. So Prabhupada is saying, that is strict following, you see. Those who are initiated are strict followers. Those who are not initiated, they are not strict followers. That's the obvious conclusion. So, Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, we have to decide how much nectar do I want to get out of this process of Krishna consciousness. I want a little tiny drop of nectar, or I would like oceans of nectar, you see. That we have to decide. How much nectar do I want? If you go to visit Bill Gates, and he says, I will give you whatever amount of money you want. You say, well, I could use $20. Would that be a very intelligent thing? Or give me a couple billion at least. Billion. Gates. Give me at least a few billion dollars. I mean, you afford a few billion. Just imagine what we could do to spread Krishna consciousness with a few billion dollars. You see how much we could use that. So, if you're there and you have the opportunity to get unlimited oceans of nectar, why would you settle only for a drop? That is not intelligent. One should fully connect with the process, become initiated disciple into the Guru Parampara system, connect with Prabhupada fully to the Guru Parampara system. It's like sometimes the bunch of friends are swimming in the lake, nice summer day, they're having a cool dip in the lake, and you're there, you've come along, but you're a little hesitant, and you're sitting on the shore, and you're, well, I don't know, it looks a little chilly in the water. They're saying, come on in, the water's fine, come on in, come on in. Well, I don't know. You know, you put your toes in, oh, it feels a little chilly, and maybe you're up to your ankle, you know, swish around your ankles in the water a little bit. And they're saying, come on in, just dive in, come on, just dive in, it's great, come on in. Well, I don't know. All right, dive in. So sometimes we are hesitant to dive into the process of Krishna consciousness fully. We're thinking it is some spectator sport. I will sit in the bleachers and enjoy it, you see. But I can tell you the real enjoyment is when you get out in the playing field. And sitting in the bleachers, that is also nice, because if you sit in the bleachers long enough, finally you will not be able to resist, and you will jump into that playing field. Finally you will jump in. So we encourage, yes, you come and sit in the bleachers very nicely. We will give you a nice prasadam. We will give you wonderful loving kindness. All Vaishnava etiquette we will give you. So you feel very happy sitting in the bleachers watching the Sankirtan movement ecstatically emanating unlimited tidal waves of mercy to inundate this universe. You see? And when you finally get it, you will be there jumping in completely also. Because who can resist this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda? Their mercy is irresistible, absolutely irresistible mercy. So, very nice points here being made by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Of course, this bhakti call, it is for person. Of course, now they say called is bad word. But actually, from academic viewpoint, called is not bad word. Simply in the media, it is bad word. But from scholarly point of view, the word called is a bona fide word. It's a culture. So, culture center. This is the culture of bhakti. And in the culture of bhakti, what do? We cultivate bhakti. And how do we cultivate bhakti? This is mentioned here. Some hint is given. Bhakti lata. It is compared to creeper. So there is bhakti lata beach. The seed of bhakti is planted. When we hear from guru, when we hear from Vaishnava preacher, you see, well, then the seed of bhakti is planted in the heart. If we are hearing with open mind, we are open minded, we hear from the spiritual master, we hear from the Vaishnava preacher, and then that seed of bhakti is planted in our heart. And then if we will engage in watering that little seedling, which is sprouting, and keep out the weeds, then that thing, that wonderful little creeper, will gradually grow. It'll actually penetrate through the coverings of the universe. You know how thick the coverings of the universe are? If NASA tried to blast through it with a spaceship, forget it. They couldn't even get out there to where the covering starts. It's so far away. And if they got there, each covering is 10 times thicker than the space within the universe. And it becomes 10 times progressively thicker. So actually the universe, if you look at it, you know, comparatively speaking, if the actual space is just a tiny little hole, and then the covering is this huge, solid chunk, multi-layered chunk. So there's no way the materialist can ever escape from the prison of material existence by digging an escape hole. I'll never make it. Like the prisoners, you know, in the prison, under somebody's bed, they dig down, they're hiding all the dirt that they're bringing out, they're getting their escape tunnel. The big day when they're all going to make the escape. You see. But there's no way they can ever dig their way out of this material world by material means. It's not possible. Absolutely impossible. It is so thick. But if you simply, humbly, gratefully accept this seed of bhakti that you receive by hearing from guru, by hearing from the Vaishnava preacher, if you simply gratefully, joyfully accept this seed of bhakti in your heart, and you water it every day, Why does Prabhupada say at least 16 rounds of japa mala every day? You see, because that's the minimum amount of water to keep the plant alive. Think, well, I'll just do 8. But the plant won't, the seed doesn't get enough water at 8 rounds a day, or 10 rounds a day, or even 15 rounds a day is not quite enough water to give the plant what it needs to flourish, you see. The plant will struggle, it won't be able to grow unless you give it at least 16 rounds of water every day. 16 rounds is the minimum. That much water is required for the plant to actually grow and thrive. That bhakti lata. And then we keep out the weeds, and we keep out the mad elephant offense of Vaishnava aparad. And in this way, Prabhupada explains how it penetrates through the coverings of the universe, and then it travels through that vast paravyoma. How many millions and billions of spiritual planets are in that transcendental world? How many millions and billions of planets are there? There's unlimited forms of Vishnu, and unlimited Vishnu loka planets. But out of all of those planets, there's one incredibly, indescribably planet described in the Brahma Samhita. Incredible. So this knowledge of Krishna and his pastimes is not just from 5,000 years ago. Brahmanji had this knowledge of 155 trillion years ago. The knowledge of Krishna as the Supreme and the Vrindavan Dham. This was known from the very beginning of the universe. It's not that only after 5,000 years ago it became known. Before that it was just Ram Bhaktas and Vishnu Bhaktas. No, Krishna Bhakti has existed from the very, very beginning of the universe. 155 trillion years ago. So, that seed, that creeper grows and finally goes through all those vast, it goes by all those vast numbers of millions and billions of universes, and it goes to that supreme abode, Krishna Loka. If anybody's sleeping, wake up. This is your wake-up call. Right now, you're in this material body, and it's an emergency situation because you're on your way down to the animal kingdom. If you don't, stay awake in class. Don't go down to the animal kingdom. Stay awake in class. So, that bhakti lata, it will go all the way to the topmost planet in the spiritual world, and there the full-blown fruit of love of God. It will take that creeper will actually entwine itself in the lotus feet of Sri, Sri, Radha, and Krishna. And then the full-blown fruit of love of God that will manifest. You think a mango is very tasty. You cannot even conceive what is the taste of that full-blown fruit, that Krishna praying fruit. You see, we cannot even begin. We can't even in our wildest dreams. We cannot even begin to conceive an infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the taste of that fruit, of love of God. Even though it is absolutely inconceivable, if we will stick to this pathway of bhakti, so carefully chalked out by our beloved Srila Prabhupada, and our beloved Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and our beloved Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and our beloved Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and our beloved Goswami, Shad Goswamis, our beloved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our beloved Narad Muni. If we would just carefully, carefully stick to this path without deviating, you see, then we will taste it. We will taste it. We must know for sure we will taste that fruit of love of God if we take this process as it is without watering it down, you see. Do not water down this bhakti. If you do, then it becomes karma yoga, Jnana Yoga. And then, what does Prabhupada say? One will fall down. One will fall down. So do not mix it with anything else, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga. It's simply pure bhakti. If you take to the pure bhakti path, you will never fall down. You say, well, what about all so many devotees fell down? How is it possible? Is Prabhupada wrong? Well, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, they were mixing it. They weren't doing the pure bhakti. Anyone who does pure bhakti will never fall down. There was some tinge in their practice. Their practice was not pure. They were tinged, jnana, karma. They had some tinge in their practice. So they're not here anymore. So how strict we have to be in our practice. How strict we must be. That we must be. Must become pure devotees. We should not be like the Christians. I accepted Jesus, now I'm saved. Oh, I got initiated, so I'm saved. Now I can do whatever I want. I can sleep late. I can, you know, chant my rounds sometimes, follow some of the principles. I'm initiated. You're not initiated, sorry. You're not really initiated. Real initiation means that you strictly, you grab onto the feet of your Guru Maharaj tightly and you never let go. That is initiation. When one is actually initiated, then that very moment you enter into immortality. When you're actually initiated, in the real sense of the term initiated, you're no longer a resident of this ghastly place. What is it called? Marcha Loka. You're no longer a resident of this Marcha Loka. When you're actually initiated, when you've actually taken the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj as your life and soul, then you are living in a transcendental world. And your death will simply be just like when those NASA rockets go off into outer space. And they have the big booster rocket to get it out of the, you know, the heavy gravity area, then a lighter booster rocket in the lighter gravity area, and then gradually they get in a no gravity area, or practically zero gravity area, where they just go into orbit. So this material body is just the big booster rocket to help get us a little higher. Then there's the subtle body, we can take that. Those are different booster rockets. And if you properly utilize your gross material body and your subtle body, they're just like a rocket on takeoff. So the time of death, you just jettison those bodies. That's all you do. You don't die. You're just jettisoning off one rocket, jettisoning off another rocket, and then boom, with Krishna. As Prabhupada said, you go to sleep. If you're a devotee, you go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. Prabhupada gives example, the mouth of the cat. There are two ways to experience the mouth of the cat. One is as a kitten, and the other is as bat. So for the kitten, when the mother carries the kitten in the mouth, the little kitten is going, meow, meow, meow. Having very nice ride. My mother is taking me on ride, you see. Very nice pastime of a little kitten to be carried by the mother cat in the mouth. But when the cat catches the rat, ki, 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 Prabhupada said like that. He says, ki, ki, ti means dying. He says, I'm finished. It's all over. So there's a very big difference. It's the same mouth of the same cat. There's all the difference in the world. You see, the experience. So when one is actually Krishna conscious, death will be a very wonderful thing. We have to be prepared to call out to Krishna at the time of death. I remember one morning when I was a brahmacharya, Balavanda decided to test me. I was coming around the corner here, early morning japa. And I came around the corner and he yelled at me, like he was some thief getting ready to cut my throat or something. And I went, Hare Krishna. He said, do you pass the test? So it's the mercy of Prabhupada that somehow or other I passed the test that day. So I'm just praying for all of your blessings. When the final test comes, that was just the best. If you all can bless me. Because I know what a Godas I am, actually. Complete, total, mudhat, Godas person that I am. I know how much I'm dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That without their blessings, I am nowhere. I'm just finished. Simply scalawag person. But by the kindness of the devotees upon me, I have some hope of being Krishna conscious. By all your kindness upon me, even though I'm not worthy of your association, I'm such a contaminated person, I'm not well worthy. But because you're very kind to allow me here to become purified, I have some hope of achieving perfection. So anyway, it's very, very nice to be here, and maybe there's some questions I can answer. I'd be happy to try. With Prabhupada's mercy, maybe I can answer a question, even though I have no brain. Any question? Yeah. Devotional service and what? Okay. So we're still plagued by, after, as Prabhupada points out, it is not surprising that we're still attached to the opposite sex and to money. Because we've been worshipping money and the opposite sex for millions of lifetimes. So we're still diseased. Even when we seriously take up the path of bhakti, we're still suffering from the disease of material desire, that's a thing. So what do you do? We're recovering, but we are not recovered, fully recovered. That's the position. So when that is a position where one has to be extremely careful, you see. You put yourself under the physician's care, the spiritual master. You're under his care. You have to follow the instructions very, very carefully. Because once you're healthy, when you're back in Goloka Vrindavan, then you're just spontaneously enjoying your pure bhakti, the Krishna. But now, in this material world, we're still contaminated with the material desires. We've seriously taken up the process of healing ourselves, but we're still not recovered. So we have to be very, very careful we do not have a relapse. The key is, whatever instruction the physician has given you, you have to follow it absolutely obediently to the letter of the law. The physician says no illicit sex, no illicit sex. Says no meat eating, no meat eating. Says no intoxication, absolutely no intoxication. Says no gambling, no gambling. He says don't offend the Vaishnavas. We have to always be very respectful and in awe and reverence toward the Vaishnavas. So we're not offensive. So whatever instructions are given there, we have to just carefully follow them. And the fact is that material in our neophyte condition, we'll be going along fine, all of a sudden a lusty desire will come into our mind. You see.
What do you do with that? Do you freak out? No, Krishna says as an ocean, the ocean, it always remains the same level even though so many waters are pouring into it. So you just say, okay, well this is par for the course. This is according to our philosophy. Here comes Mr. Lust once again doing his little dance in my brain. Have sex, have sex, have sex. Okay, Mr. Lust, I see you there telling me, have sex, have sex, have sex, have sex. Okay. When are you going to get tired of your little dance, Mr. Lust? I'm not entertained by you, Mr. I don't find you very amusing, Mr. Lust. Why don't you just go next door? Those Carmies next door, I think you'd find a better customer next door. You just got to see it like some aggressive salesman coming to your door trying to hustle you, you know, for some product. You say, no, thank you. Good luck. Do good luck with the next customer. Sorry. I've already tried your product and I decided it wasn't a very good product. So you just have to, you know, you have to realize you are going to, and the neophyte devotee will be hit with material desires. You just have to, have a sense of humor about it in one sense. All right, Maya Devi. Sorry. I mean, look at Haridas, you know, how expertly he handled it. Not that we can imitate, but just see how expertly he handled that prostitute. Yes, 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 I will give you whatever you want. Yes, sex, I will give you sex, no problem. Just wait here. I will finish my rounds. Then we will have sex. Let me finish my rounds first. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see? So you have to understand your mind is like a, you know, it's like prostitute. Yes, my dear mind, but right now you chant Hare Krishna. Vaja Huremana Shinandanandana Abhayachanala Vindana. My dear mind, yes, 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 I will give you whatever you want, but you sit down now and be a little patient while I finish my bhakti yoga. You see? So one has to be expert. You have to understand you are not your mind. That's the most important thing. You are not your mind. That's the most important thing to understand. As long as you think you're your mind, you're going to be freaked out. But if you understand that I am not my mind, it's just some little rascal that's my roommate. It's your roommate, that's all. It's not you. Is this your, you have some rascal karmi roommate you got stuck with somehow or other, you know, waiting for his lease to be up so you can get rid of him. But in the meantime, you got to deal with him expertly. That's all. When he starts saying, come on here, have a beer, you know, it's good. Have a beer, have a beer. Have a girl, come on, come on. You know, have a man. Come on, come on. Enjoy. What are you doing here with this crazy Hare Krishna people, you know? What do you think you're doing here, you know? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 you stupid Hare Krishna. Why don't you just enjoy? I mean, you can look at this Kentucky Fry and there's Big Mac, those double arches. Come on in, have an enjoyment. Have a double cheese. You see? How about some fish? It's the fruit of the Ganga. Mayan will do everything to allure you. Say, yes, yes, Maya Devi, that is all right. But you just wait. I'm just now finishing my. I have some work to do, and then later we will talk. But you just wait there patiently. Actually, this Krishna Ganga's movement means that we must revolutionize our consciousness. We have to revolutionize our consciousness, and then what is the next step? Revolutionize the world. You see, that is our mission, given to us by Prabhupada. Revolutionize your consciousness, and then, in that purified state, revolutionize the whole world. That is our mission. That's why Prabhupada said, distribute books, take the holy names to the public, distribute prasadam, make devotees, turn the karmis into devotees, make them into devotees. This is not something unnatural. This is the natural, original energy of a living being, Krishna consciousness. All we are really doing, all we are really saying to the world is this one, is four simple words. All we are saying is them, all we're really saying to them is this, be what you are. That's all we're really saying to them. Be what you are. Because actually everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Jivara Sarupa Hai Krishna Nityadas. The constitutional nature of every living entity. I'm talking about all, not only human beings, the animals, the plants, the microbial germs, the millipedes, the centipedes. Every single living entity is actually devotee of Krishna. So all we are saying is be what you are. Stop trying to be what you are not. You can never be happy by trying to be what you are not. You can only be happy and satisfied by being what you are. That's all we're saying. Nothing more. We have nothing else to say but be what you are. My dear sir, this is a book that tells you how to be what you are. Would you like to be what you are? Or do you want to try to be that which you are not? You're feeling dissatisfied, my dear sir, because right now you're trying to be what you are not. You're trying to be that body, which is not you. No matter how hard you try to be that body, you cannot be that body because you are not that body. Simply, my dear sir, my dear lady, you simply be what you are. That is all. And everything will be very simple for you. Everything will be so simple. Simply try to be what you are. What does Christ say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all things shall be added unto you. And Krishna says the same thing. If you worship me with exclusive devotion, then I will preserve whatever you have, and I will provide whatever you are lacking. I will personally give you whatever you are missing. Eko bahunam yovadadati kama. So, what need do we have of anything else except to become pure devotee of Krishna? We have no need of anything else. We still keep body and soul together. That's all right. You earn livelihood. You go get your education, get a job, whatever you need. Some make some arrangement. Either be a full-time monk living in the ashram, or you support the ashram by working job on the outside. The same benefit is there for both groups. Those who are living in ashram, those who are living outside, everyone lives in ashram. Grihastha ashram. You want to be a married man, live on the outside? All right. You make your home into an ashram also. As an extension of the temple, that's all. So we're all meant to live in ashram, not in a mundane atmosphere. So, we've just come from the Festival of Inspiration in Vrindavan, and we're seeing how every devotee in this movement, each and every single devotee in this movement is actually an ocean of mercy. It could be a little child, it could be an old senior, it doesn't matter. Every devotee who's trying to follow Prabhupada, they are an ocean of mercy. So we were there thinking how amazing this is, that here is an ocean of oceans of mercy. It's enough nectar to dive into one ocean of mercy, but if you have a whole ocean, you have hundreds of oceans of mercy, all merged into one huge maha, 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 maha ocean of mercy, and you dive into that, how much nectar is there in that? And so we realized that we were diving, and now we have to just take that ocean of mercy, that festival of inspiration, we have to just inundate the entire world in one big festival of inspiration. That is our mission. So you all are doing you were definitely on the leading edge of this spiritual revolution. And you were doing very nice seva here, distributing books, distributing the holy names, putting on wonderful festivals to attract everyone to the mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of Gaur Nithai, the mercy of Radha Krishna, the mercy of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. You're doing very first class service here. As Prabhupada said, actually, I can never forget how he said that I've gone to this temple, that temple, but I can see of all the temples, your temple is the best. So I see that how much Prabhupada is appreciating. I can see that spirit that was going on, that spirit is still here, it is alive and well in Madhyati Dham. To do the best service for Srila Prabhupada, to make this the best temple in the whole world, that mood of pleasing, giving the best pleasure to Srila Prabhupada is still going on here today, and I'm very happy to come here and be blessed by that the best temple Nirupanihatijam. Any more questions? Yes, Vaishnavananda Prabhu. Can you speak a little louder? My hearing is going bad with old age. You remember the other temple where Vishnu Janmaraj came through? Yeah, I came through with him. That's where I first came, the other temple. That was the previous temple. And that was very ecstatic. I remember there was a reel-to-reel tape playing the Maha Mantra 24 hours a day. I remember that. Huh? Jai. Jai. Yeah, that's very good. You don't become bewildered by these material desires. You just humor them. So you realize that the ocean has so many water rivers flowing into it, but it doesn't become. It keeps a level consciousness. So okay, here you are. You know, lusty desire. Right? Sorry. And you know, I have Krishna. He can immediately zap you and wipe you out. It's actually very easy. You just pray to Madan Mohan, Krishna. Is the attractor of Cupid is Madan, Kamadev, and he is shooting arrows in the heart. It's like the Kshatriyas, they can shoot arrows like machine gun. Thousands of arrows they can shoot within a second. So Kamadev, he can do that, he can shoot thousands of lusty arrows into your heart within a second. So, but he is attracted by Krishna. So, if you pray to Krishna that please call off this Kamadev, this Madan, who is right now shooting millions of lusty arrows into my heart, you call him off. So he is very attracted by Krishna. Krishna is Madan Mohan, the attractor of Madan. So then, if his consciousness becomes diverted to Krishna, then he won't be able to aim properly. He's shooting into your heart. He's zeroing in on your heart, but if his consciousness goes to Krishna, he won't be able to hit the target anymore. So we can just pray to Krishna, Madan Mohan, my dear Lord Krishna, now I'm being attacked by lust. I'm feeling lusty desire in my heart. Please free me from this lusty desire, this lusty thought. Please bless me that I can become completely free of this thought and just be absorbed in you. So, and Krishna can easily, it works very powerful. If it doesn't work, at first you just keep praying that way. I don't care if it takes 20 hours, you just stay in that prayerful mood of begging Madan Mohan, and sooner or later it will go away. I guarantee it works every time. But you may have to pray for a while, depending on how contaminated you are. But it works. It does work. The key is don't be proud, thinking that you're an advanced devotee. That's the key. One has to always feel that I'm this despicable wretch. It's only by the mercy of Guru and mercy of Vaishnavas, mercy of Prabhupada, that somehow that I'm here, even though I'm just a lusty dog. Never think that you're advanced. That's the key. Never think that you're advanced. Always think that you're in the most fallen position, just holding on for the mercy, just begging for the mercy. And then you'll become very strong. And then you can never fall down if you're in that mood. Prabhupada in Boston said, I'm always praying to Krishna, but I will never fall, that I will not fall down. Someone devotee said, oh, that's why Prabhupada can never fall down, because he's always begging Krishna that he won't fall down. So we have to always be in that mood of begging that we will not fall down, feeling that if I stop begging that I can fall down within a second. If I give up begging to be protected from Maya, I can fall down within a second. We have to feel always we are struggling, just like our Shri Maharaj. We all know what an advanced, wonderful, totally jolly, wake up, Brahmacharya Adhikari. So, we know how blissful he was. And I remember, he gave one memory, you may have seen also, but he was remembering when he got initiated. He was coming in front of Prabhupada, probably in Los Angeles. He was just nervous and feeling he was practically in front of God. And he was bowing down and he was just, oh, Prabhupada is saving me, you know. He was just, and someone tapped him and said, look how Prabhupada's talking to you, Prabhupada's talking to you. He left and Prabhupada said, so, you were Brahmachari. And he was thinking like, maybe Prabhupada's blessing me to be stay Brahmachari. And then, so many years later, somehow, and then he said, after being a Brahmachari sannyasi for so many years, then he chuckled and he said, so here I am, still struggling, laughing. You see? So this is, we should actually be in that mood, not thinking, oh yeah, I'm advanced now, I'm beyond the struggle, now I can just enjoy, I can sit back and enjoy being an advanced devotee. That's a dangerous position. The settlers going west, there was a saying, when you can't see the Indians, that's when you have to worry. Because it could be just over the next ridge. So if I'm thinking that, you know, now I'm all free and clear, you know, and I'm fixed up in Krishna consciousness, no problem. You see? That's when we have to be. That's when it's very dangerous. Then we're on the verge of falling down at that point. But I think I'm struggling to be Krishna conscious. I'm struggling to conquer my senses. You can say, but I don't want to struggle. That doesn't sound like fun. But look at Shri Maharaj. He was struggling. And who was more jolly than Shridhar Swami? Anybody, we know how jolly he was. He admitted, I am struggling. I'm still struggling. So we simply have to embrace the struggle of conquering the senses. And that fight to keep the senses, we're wrestling. It's like being constantly absorbed in wrestling, a wrestling match. With the senses, keeping them fixed in Krishna consciousness. But it's actually ecstatic. We just dive into it, accept it, okay, I got to struggle at least until I get to prema. That's a long road. Of course, we can get there within a second also. There will come that moment when we'll become pure devotees of Krishna. We should strive for it every day. Now, today I must try to become pure devotee of Krishna. So anyway, I think I'm going over time here. What's the time of class ending? 8:30? All right, question. What is constantly struggling? Huh? Jai, that's a wonderful name. What is the point? Yes. Yes.
And a member of the family married a woman in the Hindu family. We asked whether it was the Rajana who became a woman that became a Hindu family married.
What is the point? The question? This Paranjana is an allegory. So, but Pandavas are not allegory. isn't it? Yeah. So there's a difference. Any other questions? Yes. Irresistible mercy. Yes, this was answered by Lochan Das Thakur. Your question has been answered by Lochan Das. And Prabhupada explained in his purport to Paramakuruna that it is, if someone is not attracted, then they have been cursed by Yamaraj. Someone is not able to take this mercy of Lochitanya, they're simply under the curse of Yamaraj. How do you get free of that curse? You have to fall down at the feet of Shishi Gonitai and just beg mercy. That's all I can say. You just got to fall down at their feet and beg for mercy. That's all you can, you know, just all you can do is just beg for mercy. If in spite of all the mercy they're giving, you still finding your absorbed in sense gratification, you just got to fall at their feet and just cry for their mercy. And if you have no tears to cry for their mercy, then you have to cry to cry for their mercy. If you can't cry to cry for their mercy, you have to cry to cry to cry for their mercy. And this way, find some level at which you can cry. And that's the way to do it. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.